You're just a wonderful group of people. And I just want to see if there's a word that can be helpful, useful, beneficial in your matriculation down the King's Highway and in your magnificent trip up Jacob's ladder toward glory. If you were to be so beneficently kind, consider with me the voluminous book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Our rendezvous point would be verse number 29. Isaiah 40, familiar passage to most of us who had significant tenure in the body of Christ. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 29. Isaiah 40, verse number 29. If you have been successful in the navigational process, and now if your optic nerve is fastened and fixated on Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29, confirm it with a hearty amen. Amen. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Let me tell you something, folks. You young folk, you young now, but you ain't going to be young always. Your day coming too. Same bug bit me, going to bite you. I told the church this morning, I'm like Michael Jordan. I can still jump high, but my hang time ain't what it used to be. The Bible is right that even young folk shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But here's the word today. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God does not renew what he's not given you to start with. And then he says, here's the text. Here's what I'm going to preach today. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Right there in the verse is my sermonic soliloquy. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's when you soar. They shall run and not be weary. That's when you sprint. And they shall walk and not faint. That's when you stroll. I want to talk to y'all about soaring, sprinting, and strolling. For every church to thrive and not just survive, in every marriage, in every business, in every fraternity, every sorority, every entity in life, you got to have a period and a time. It is a part of the Homo sapien experience. There are times in your life when you're soaring. There's times in your life when you can't fly no more. Life has clipped your wings. Life is taking the wind out of your sails, and you can't fly, you just got to run. That's when you're sprinting. But if you live long enough, you get 70, and by reason of strength, 80. When God lets old age get gray in your head and old age is sketched in your eyebrow, when your steps get slower, your eyes get dimmer, when your memory get short, say amen when you can, when your money get funny, your change get strange, your checkbook start looking like a wreck book, say amen when you can. You can't soar, you can't sprint. Sometimes in life, you just got to stroll. And so if you stay here with me long enough, I'll drive down your street. You'll be soaring, you'll be sprinting, or you'll be strolling. This morning, beloved, we're privileged to read from the pen of this evangelical prophet of old, by the name of Isaiah. He is the son of Amaz. He is the prophet who wrote arguably and possibly more about the coming Christ and the building of the church of Christ and the kingdom of God than all of the other prophets combined. Isaiah has the distinction that few in the Bible had. That is, the book that he wrote actually bears his name. In this voluminous book in the Old Testament, I never preach Isaiah without remembering and quoting what he said in Isaiah 9 and 6. 700 years before Christ came, 700 years before he was wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid in a manger in Bethlehem, 700 years before Mary and Joseph suffered ridicule of Christ being born, 700 years before he put on the robe and the flesh of a Jew, condescended himself down from glory, Isaiah looked through the corridors of time and said, 700 years before Jesus, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. I need to tell some of y'all who concerned about who we elected as president. You worried about who's the president, but Isaiah said the government will be on Jesus' shoulders. I know a God that can out-trump Trump. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It matters who lives in your house. It doesn't matter who's in the presidency. It matters who's in your residency. It doesn't matter. You need more than a senator. You need a savior. You need more than the Supreme Court. You need a high judge, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm so glad last month after Trump won, when I went to the voting booth, God wasn't on the ballot, because God don't have to run for God every 4 years. You don't have to vote for God, Buddha, Mohammed. I came by to tell you, he's God from everlasting to everlasting. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the author and the finisher. He don't have to run for God. He's God all by himself. Ain't but so much Donald Trump. I'm concerned, but I ain't worried. Say amen when you can. Long as God's on the throne, everything gonna be all right for the child of God. And maybe, just possibly, God allows people like that to become president so you learn how to not to look to Capitol Hill, but Calvary's Hill. Donald Trump being president gonna bring some of y'all back to church. Say amen when you can. All of our attendance about to start to increase again. Now, you know, sometimes God got to do something to make Christians wake up again. Isaiah said the government shall be on his shoulders. And then he said his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and then Everlasting Father. He gave us the names of God. But I'm mighty afraid some of us know all of God's names, but we know nothing about God's nature. It's all right to know his names, but how many of y'all, like me, want to get familiar with his nature? I know you know his name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Nisi. His name is Jehovah Shalom. His name is Jehovah Sittenu. He's Yahweh and Elohim. I know you know his names, but how many of y'all know something about his nature? I came by to tell you, Isaiah not only exposed his names in this text, but he went on now to talk about God's nature. And that gives me entree. It catapults me into the place where we are in the scriptures today. He says his nature is to give power to the weak and might to those who need strength. It's indisputable. It's an ungetaroundable fact that when you're down and out, God seeks to lift you up. You see, he says young men will faint and utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, and the etymology of that word wait here does not mean you sit on your front porch and wait for God to drive by in an Eldorado Cadillac. The word wait here means that you're looking to the Lord. You trust the Lord. You depend on the Lord. You have confidence in the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. God wants you to know today, Greenville, if you want to thrive every now and then, he's got to renew. He's got to recharge your battery. And I don't care how well you know God. I don't care how saved and sanctified you think you are. I don't care if you and God have coffee together every morning. I don't care if you are born again. I don't care if you are a member of the blood-bought, heaven-bound, Christ-centered, hell-proof church, the Church of Christ. I don't care how long you be. I don't care how many Sunday school classes. I don't care how many Sunday morning. I don't care how many Wednesday nights. I don't care how many Sunday nights. I don't care if you are baptized on Pentecost. I came here to tell you today, every night, and then you get weary on this journey. Now, if you don't never get weak and weary, you better than me. Maybe you ought to be preaching and I ought to be listening to you. But I got enough sense today. I think there's two or three people in here who are just like me. Every now and then, I get weary on this journey. And I'm glad God will renew. He will recharge your battery. I told him, now where I'm from, folks say amen. I know I ain't the best preacher, but I ain't the worst either. That gave segue to this lesson. Look at what he says. I need to talk to y'all about soaring, sprinting, and strolling. Notice the verbiage of the text. Notice the lexicon, the language. He says, since God wants to recharge you and renew you, if you just wait, look to him. Quit looking to Washington, D.C. Quit looking to Austin, Texas. Say amen when you can. Quit looking to Big Mama and Mud Deer. Say amen when you can. Even quit looking to your spouse and your children. He wants you to look, wait on him. He said he'll help you to mount up with wings like eagles. He wants you to soar. That eagles soar. Eagles do what no other bird in the fowl kingdom does. Eagles don't fly. They soar. Y'all done got quiet on me. And there's folk in this church and who are soaring, but there's others who are sprinting. There's others who are strolling. But ain't nobody got no business sitting. Y'all done got real quiet on me here. If y'all quiet already, you wait till I drive down your street. I'm going to have to blow the horn when I go by your house. Yeah. God don't mind you soaring. He don't mind you sprinting. He don't even mind you strolling. But what he don't want you to do is be sitting. He says that he'll give you the ability, the propensity, the proclivity to mount up with wings like an eagle. In his infinite wisdom, look at the allegory, the analogy Isaiah makes. Look at how homogeneous and homogeneous and copacetic this is to the American experience. The symbol of America, the greatest country on the celestial planet we call Earth, for the last 150 years out of our 240 years of existence, for the last 150 years without any successful contradiction, America is the world's superpower. And the symbol of America is not the presidential seal. It is not the dollar bill or any currency. The symbol of America is the bald eagle. And the reason why it is America's symbol is eagles do something that no other bird in the fowl kingdom does. Eagles soar. They don't just fly. And you know, we kind of crazy in America. We love animals sometimes more than we love people. You'll get more time for killing a dog than killing a brother. Y'all just got real quiet right here, man. If you don't understand that, you might better stay in Texas. Don't come to Florida. In Florida, the habitat people, if an eagle builds a nest, and you disturb it or harm that eagle, you'll get more time for bothering that eagle than you get for hurting a brother. See, some people love animals more than they love people. There are people who will risk their life to save a whale but walk by a hungry man every day and won't give him a dime. There are people who will lock themselves to a tree and save a tree but won't help. Say amen. Listen, when the gorilla grabbed that baby last year and they had to shoot the gorilla, there are people protesting that they shot a gorilla instead of saving a child. I come up here to tell you today, if that gorilla would have grabbed my grandson, they wouldn't have had to shoot him. I'd have got down there in his donkey by himself. Say amen with your cat. They'd have had to shoot both of us. Say amen with your cat. Let me tell you something, folks. If you love animals, ain't nothing wrong with that, but don't you ever treat, God didn't send Jesus to redeem animals. He sent Jesus to redeem humans. I know you love your dog and your cat, and some of y'all think all dogs going to heaven. But I got news for you. If you wake up that glad morning and your dog laying beside you, you ain't in heaven. You better check your address. Amen, God. Ain't no dogs going to heaven. Ain't no cats going to heaven. Y'all done got real quiet on me. The symbol of America is the bald eagle. Why then did America choose the eagle? And why did Isaiah, the evangelical prophet of old, use the eagle as his allegory to say Christians ought to mount up with wings like eagles and soar? Because there are things that eagles do that no other bird can do. I wish I had a church in here today. Have you ever seen how beautiful an eagle is in flight? How effortlessly he takes flight? How huge his wingspan is? Did you know an eagle is the only bird that can flap his wing one time and fly a quarter of a mile? An eagle is the only bird that can look directly into the sunlight and never blink his eye. An eagle is the only bird that from 2 miles in the sky can see a rat crawling on the ground, can swoop down and pick up a rat, fly 2 miles back in the sky, and digest him in the air. Did you know the female eagle can be impregnated and bear her offspring while in flight? I wish I had a church in here today. The eagle is the only bird that has the propensity and the proclivity to mount up and fly over a storm. The eagles don't fly, they only fly with other eagles. Eagles don't hang with buzzards. Eagles don't fly with turkeys. Eagles don't hang out with chickens. Eagles don't cool it and chill with peacocks. Eagles don't fly south in the winter like geese. Y'all done got real quiet on me. I'm trying to tell you, sister girl, brother man, brother wonderful, sister do funny. I'm trying to tell you today, if you're going to fly like an eagle, quit running with turkeys. God called us to soar like eagles. You will never soar like an eagle until you quit running with dirty birds. You young people, listen to Brother Lynn. If you want to go to college, hang out with people that want to go to college. If you want to be something in life, inundate yourself with people that want to be something in life. If you want to make the honor roll and dean's list in school, hang out with people who are on the honor roll and on the dean's list. You cannot soar like an eagle hanging with Poopy, Ray Ray, Mike, Lil Pistol Starter. Lil Nut. You cannot go somewhere hanging with people who don't want to go nowhere. Y'all done got real quiet on me here. See, eagles don't ever fly with other birds because they soar, and the altitude they get, no other bird can fly that high. So they don't ever lower themselves. Y'all done got quiet on me. Too many of y'all hanging out with chickens, and all they do is lay eggs. We got too many chicken members that laying too many eggs. Greenville Avenue leadership can't get no work done because too many chicken members around here laying eggs. Oh, y'all got quiet on me. We got too many peacock members. Peacocks look good, but they can't fly. We got too many members that come here every Sunday looking good, but ain't doing nothing else. Eagles don't hang out with turkeys. We eat turkey once or twice a year. We got members who show up once or twice a year. Y'all done got quiet on me. Eagles don't fly with buzzards. Buzzards don't kill nothing. They just fly around waiting for something to die. We got too many buzzard members that don't kill nobody, but they gossip all the time, waiting for people to. Eagles don't fly with geese. Geese always, when the weather changes, they leave. We got too many members in the Church of Christ. When it get hot, they leave here and church hop over there and the church hop over here. You ought to be in it for the long haul. We need some ride or die members. If you're going to not be with me in the tough times, I don't need you in the good times. We need some people who want to soar. Notice what he said. God will give you and I the ability to soar. This church will never be all it can be until members learn that God wants us to soar. What I love about the eagle, not only does he have those unique characteristics and qualities, the eagle is the only bird that when a storm comes, other birds have to land and wait out the storm. Other birds have to fly around the storm. Other birds who are unfortunate sometimes get trapped in the storm. But notice what Isaiah said. He gave us the ability to mount up like eagles. That means when a storm comes for an eagle, he doesn't have to land and wait. He doesn't have to fly around it. He doesn't get trapped in it. When the storm comes, he mounts up and flies over. Y'all done got quiet on me. That means that there's things in life God wants you to get over. Quit allowing trouble and life to make you land and to make you detour and to trap you. Learn how to mount up and fly over. There's some stuff in life you got to learn to get over. Some of y'all still mad about slavery. It's time to get over it. Every time roots come on, you catch a case. It's time to get over it, child. Say amen when you can. You can't stay married 36 years like I have unless you learn how to get over some stuff. You can't stay mad at stuff. You got to get over it. Well, you don't know how he hurt me. Child, I know he hurt you, but you still got to get over it. Build a bridge and get over it. Quit allowing people to make you land in life. Learn how to mount up and fly over it. Some of y'all still mad. In the seventh grade, somebody hurt your feeling. And now you call them on the Jerry Springer show to tell them how bad they hurt you. You got to learn some point in life to tell people to heaven with you. That went over your head, didn't it? Yeah, you got to stop allowing people to control your destiny. The only person that determines my destiny is me and God. That's why eagles fly over stuff. Life got to stop getting you to land and go around and go through it. Get over it. Eagles soar. And here's the caveat. When the storm comes, the wind in the storms is the wind beneath the eagle's wings that allows him to soar. So that means the bigger the storm, the higher he flies. I came from Florida to tell you, the more the devil sends a storm in your life, the more God wants you to. You can't always control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to what happens to you. Frederick Douglass, one of my iconic favorite figures in African American history. I read his biography many years ago. And Frederick Douglass says something, being born in 1820, Frederick Douglass said, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault if you were born a slave. It's not your fault if you happen, it's your lot in life you're born a slave on the plantation. But he said, but if God lets you live and you become old and gray-headed, it's not your fault you were born a slave. He said, but if you die a slave, that's your fault. And life, sometimes you didn't sign up for what happened to you. But if you allow what happened to you to control you, I wish I had a church in here. God wants us to mount up and fly over some stuff. You just got to get over it. Say amen when you can. You can't let it control you. Greenville Avenue, in the history of this church, y'all got some great things, but there's some bad things happened that you had to get over. You can't get stuck in a rut. God wants you to soar. God wants you to fly with other eagles. That's why when I pick my friends in the clergy, in the brotherhood, I don't run with any kind of preacher. I don't hang with buzzard preachers. Say amen when you can. I try to fly with the Shelton Gibbs of the world. I can't get up as high as he is. Say amen when you can. I can't preach like Gibbs. I can't sing like Bradshaw. But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Quit complaining about how life done treated you. Everybody's got a story. They don't need you going on the internet and hitting pityparty.com. If you throw yourself a pity party, you're the only one going to show up. Say amen when you can. It's just time to get over some stuff. Everybody got a story. It's time to get over it. But I came by to tell you, don't nobody soar always. I want to tell you, this church here, you've been soaring a long time. I've been hearing about you, and now I get to see you. But this church will hit a period where you don't soar. Back home where I am, our church is 17 years old. I'm the only preacher they ever have. We started with 12 people in the school, and God's a good God. Now we got 450 members. I know that ain't nothing compared to this, but we feel good about ourselves. Say amen when you can. Because I tell my church, ain't but 450 of us, but you don't have to be the biggest to be the best. Say amen when you can. Yeah, you ain't got to be the biggest to be the best. And we grew so fast, so far, that when we hit a little low, everybody started getting worried. But don't nobody soar always. Sometimes we hit a plateau, and the attendance or the contribution may go down a little. Ain't nothing wrong. It's just that we ain't soaring right. Y'all done got quiet on me. Even in marriage, sometimes you don't soar. Some of you got to sprint. You got to stroll. Sometimes you and mama getting along fine. Y'all talking to, hey, boo. Strawberry. Pie. You start giving them names, you know. My wife, I know when we getting along good. She called me Mufasa. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. Mufasa. I ain't no Simba. Mufasa. But when she mad at me, I'm Mufasa when we soaring. But I've been married 36 years. All them years we ain't soared. She get mad at me and say, you know, and you got the nerve to call yourself a preacher. Come on now, where the real people at there? If you've been married over 3 days, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody in here been married over 3 days and has some buyer's remorse. Come on now, where the real people at in here? I ain't coming to Florida to lie to you. I got to tell you the truth. Don't nobody soar always. I'm glad there's provision in the text. Notice the progression in the text. He said, Isaiah said, God will give you the ability, the propensity, the proclivity to mount up with wings like eagles. But then when life clips your wings, when life takes the wind out of your sails, when you can't fly no more, he said he'll give you ability to run. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe I'm just helping myself today. But there have been times in my life I was sure enough soaring. But other times I had to sprint. I can't fly no more. Don't nobody fly always. The last few years, Gibbs, my ministry, God has blessed me. I've been flying all over the country, preaching to different churches. I preached on 3 continents and in 37 states. But you know, I was soaring, but now the young preachers are coming. And they handsome and suave and debonair. I am too, but come on now. Don't hate, congratulate. Don't drink no haterade in here. Some of y'all look like you rolled over here in a hate mobile. You've been eating hater chips. No. I'll be 56 on my birthday. I know I can't soar always. But when I can't soar, I still can run. So when your soaring days are over, you sprint. And when your sprinting days are over, you stroll. Same way you can. See, soaring is what young people got energy, but they ain't got no sense. Old people got sense, but we ain't got no energy. I told the church this morning, see, don't nobody soar our way. Y'all Cowboys doing good now, but y'all been strolling for a while. Say amen when you can. Y'all soaring right now. Yeah, y'all soaring right now. Anybody got any tickets to the game tonight? I'll go with you. Let's go watch them soar. But the last few years, see, because ain't nobody always up. They're soaring now. See, when you're young, you can soar. You got energy. Young people do everything fast. They text fast. They think fast. They drive fast. Old people, once you ain't soaring no more, old people leave home in time. See, young people leave late. Y'all done got quiet on me. Old people leave. Church start at 8. They leave home at 7:10. Young people leave 7:45. You leave just in time that if any light catch you, you ain't going to make it in time. That's because you got children to get ready. You got to go to work tomorrow. You went to work yesterday. You had to cut your grass yesterday. Young people got a lot going on. So you don't think like old people. Old people think different than young people. When life clip your wings, you got to get more strategic. I ain't old, but now when I come to a strange place, the first thing I do is identify where's the bathroom. Say amen when you can. See, when you get older, you can't afford to be looking. Come on now, say amen when you can. Yeah, you young jits, y'all can look for 30 minutes. When you get on medicine, when you take a pill, you got the... Say amen when you can. Yeah, young people sit through the whole movie and don't move. Old people clock out. Got to come back. What happened? What happened? See. You ain't going to soar always. Life just got away. There ain't but 2 categories of people over 50. The people that take medicine and people that refuse to take it. Everybody else need it. They just won't take it. Let me tell you something. Once life clips your wing, and you can't soar no more. Look at the verse. I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. He said, you can mount up with wings like eagle. But when you can't fly no more, you can run and not be weary. That's your sprinting days. I'm in my sprinting days. I can't even stay up to see the end of a football game no more. Because if the game come on at 8, by the 3rd quarter, I get weary. Come on now. Anybody... Some of y'all in here look like y'all about my age. Anybody here old enough to remember when TV used to go off at night? And you get woke up by the national anthem? Come on now, you got to be over 50 now. These young people don't know nothing about this. You remember before we had cable? In my neighborhood in the 60s in Tallahassee, Florida, we didn't even have a color TV. We were the first people in the neighborhood that had two TVs. The one on the top for the sound, the one on the bottom for the picture. Come on now, we had to put aluminum foil on the rabbit ears. We had wire plows to change the channel. Come on, old folks, amen. I know you like the Jeffersons, you done moved on up to the east side, but you remember? Wasn't no cable, we didn't get but three channels. Saturday night, we watched Hee Haw. Roy Clark and Picking and a Grinning. And Grandpa Jones, same him again. Minnie Pearl. Lawrence Welk, come on now. You young people know Lawrence Welk is not a dance. When you get older, start getting older, life will clip you. Some of us brag about what we used to do, we don't do no more. You can't. Life will clip you. Say amen, okay? The young people now are going out when I'm coming in. So me and my wife go out to dinner. My son come home from Houston. He's 31 years old. He leaving the house. I'm coming home. Where you going 10 o'clock at night? Keep on living. Say amen, we can. So when you can't soar no more, you got to sprint. See, young people are smart. They do everything fast. My grandson, he's over two now. He always asking me questions. Thanks, fast. Papa, what about this? Papa. And sometimes he start asking me all the questions. I just said, look, boy, there's nothing you can ask me that Papa don't know. He came back next week and bothered me. I'm in there studying my Bible. He said, Papa, ask me. I said, why you keep asking me stuff? He said, I thought you said you know everything. I said, I started to snatch his gizzards out. I'm sorry. but see, the young people are fast. They think fast. They're uply mobile, but your sprinting days are coming. You slow down. You leave home. Your flight leave at 5. You leave home at 2:30. Say amen when you can. You don't ever see no old people running through no airport trying to. They sitting at the gate for the other plane even left. I asked an old couple, when y'all flying? They said tomorrow. That's what you do when you're old, see. Your spring day is coming. Can't soar. Just got to sprint. Life sometimes, I don't know who I'm talking, sometimes in life you're not where you thought you'd be. You don't have the money you thought you'd have. You're not living where you thought you'd be living. Life can clip your wings. And when you're not soaring and where you think you ought to be, don't quit on God. That's why he said in the verse, I give you ability to mount up wings like it, but when you can't fly, run, sprint. And then when you can't sprint no more, he said, soar like an eagle, sprint like a man. But when you really get weak, walk, stroll. Isn't it interesting that when we're babies, we come here in a stroller? And if you ain't careful, you'll leave here in a stroller. When you're young, somebody carries you. When you're older, the people you carried now got to carry you. Say amen when you can. The verse allows for soaring, sprinting, and strolling, but it does not allow sitting. It's all right to walk with God. When you can't soar, when you can't sprint, walk with him. You're in good company. Enoch, the Bible said, walk with God. And he kept walking and walking and walking with God. The one day he stepped right on into eternity. He, along with Elijah, the only two men in the Bible who did not die. He just stepped from earth to glory. Sometimes in life, you just got to stroll. You can't sprint no more. Can't fly. You can't soar. Just got to stroll. And listen, folks, I told the church this morning, when you get to where you can't soar and can't sprint, and since you got to stroll, you might as well stroll with a little swag. Come on now, you can. Yeah, you made it. Yeah. Go ahead on, young Jit. But I'm strolling, but I got some glide in my stride. I got some dip in my hip. I've been on the mothership. Same every cat. Old people ain't in no hurry. They riding down and they deuce and a quarter. You got to be over 50 now. Diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging in the scene with the gangster lean. Okay, y'all ain't been in the church all the way then. Young people, that's back when music was music. That back before folk was cussing. That back when you sang with your clothes on. Say it whenever you can. That back before they start calling our women out their name. What category are you in today? Sometimes God just gives you the ability to soar. Look like everything's going okay. And then sometimes you get knocked down a peg or two. You end up high. Just when you're knocked down, sprint. And then even when your legs are weary of sprinting, stroll. Walk, but don't quit on God. Greenville Avenue, when y'all are soaring, ride the wind. But when the wind ain't there, run. And when God, sometime for whatever reason, takes strength out your leg, y'all keep walking with God. Here's the thing, whether you're soaring, sprinting, or strolling, you're still going in the same direction. Going to see the King. So for you to thrive, you got to adjust to the three stages in life. Don't get mad and frustrated when you ain't soaring. Soar while you can. But when, in the schedule, when God don't want you soaring, keep moving toward it. The worst thing you can do is get mad when you don't understand how life works. You don't understand. Listen. I done got the age now, everything hurt. My back hurt, my legs hurt. I got to pray before I get out the bed anymore. I used to jump out the bed. Say it, man, you can. The Lord, make sure everything don't lock up when I get out. My back hurt me so bad the other day. My back cracked so loud, I thought somebody was knocking at the door. I said, who is it? Come on now, say it, man, when you can. And you get old, you're supposed to hurt. I went to the doctor the other day. He told me, he said, well, listen, he said, you done got, you know, AARP age. It hurt my feelings when me and my wife turned 55. Now the retirement community is sending me mail. You can move in. Don't that hurt your feelings? Yeah. Doctor told me, he said, now listen. He said, you're African American and you're on medicine. He said, now you got to watch you. Cholesterol and watch your diet. You can't eat fried chicken and collard greens with fat back and all that. He said, you know, I said, Doc, I hear you. I believe you. And I am. I'm working on it. I had a stroke. I don't do like some of y'all. But I did tell him. I said, Doc, listen. Now, when you get old, you're going to die. Ain't no need in me not eating something I want to eat. I give up 6 months. Same again, yeah, I give up 6 months. What's the difference between 80 and 79 and a half? Same here when you can. I mean, all that means is I just get to go on to heaven. Ain't nothing worse. I told my mom, ain't nothing worse to be 80 years old laying in the bed dying from nothing. say amen when you can. Yeah. When they embalm me, they're going to meet some resistance in my vein, yeah. There's going to be some grease in my vein. Say amen when you can. Yeah, no matter what you do, you can't live always. You just got to know what stage you're at. You got to know where you're soaring, sprinting, and some of y'all in strolling, but you still on the battlefield for God. Know what season this church is in. Don't get mad when you're not in this. Some people don't know the season. You've soared before, you'll soar again. Understand your season. Stay with God. Just don't sit and don't quit with God. I've said enough. I've determined I'm going to stay with the Lord. I shared with the church this morning. I'm so happy. I'm blessed. I got a beautiful wife at 36 years. I got two grown children. I got a grandson. Got a beautiful church I preach for. A lot of good things have happened in my life. But number one, uno, is being in Christ. I shared with the church this morning. I've been privileged now to meet three presidents. I met Jimmy Carter. I met Bill Clinton. Matter of fact, I got a picture with Bill Clinton on my phone. He was just in Orlando, and because I work with the Florida Civil Rights Commission, I've been the chairman of religious affairs for the last few years. So that means when there's social injustice or unrest, the Florida Civil Rights Commission in Florida investigates, and I work with the religious department. So when things like Trayvon Martin happen, and et cetera, I'm called upon to, in my entity. We have a legal team. We have all those entities. But because I am the ecumenical part of the association, President Obama, the 44th POTUS of these United States, when he ran for office in 2008 and in 2012, one of my members was his local campaign director in Central Florida in 2008. His name is Nate Jenkins. Nate's a Duke Law School graduate, sharp, young African-American male. So when Obama came in 08, he was a senator, Obama. Nate invited me, and I met Obama, then Senator Obama, and expressed my support. And when he won, Nate Jenkins, the gentleman that ran his campaign in Orlando, he hired him. He lives in D.C. now. For the last 8 years, Nate works in the West Wing of the White House. He works in Homeland Security. He's the chief of staff for the director of Homeland Security. And he's a sharp guy. So I went to D.C. to preach at Suitland Road Church of Christ. Ed Maxwell's there. It's right outside D.C. And I called Nate. I said, Nate, preacher in town. Can you get me to the White House? Now, Nate can get you the behind-the-scenes tour. I got the VIP pass. I ain't out there with Pookie and Ray Ray like y'all. Okay, yeah. Y'all get the tour for everybody. You know, they're just regular. Go behind the scenes. Nate got me high security clearance. Only he and I went. I went to where Obama, where you wait to see the president. I met Joe Biden and one of the senators there. We walked by the Oval Office. Obama was in there. He said, don't bother him. I could see him talking to somebody. And but I didn't bother him, but I did dap him up, you know what I mean? I went to the Rose Garden, where he holds press conferences outside. I was amazed how small the Rose Garden really is. I went to where they lived, the residential quarters. I couldn't go up, but Nate said, that's where they go. I went down the hallway, the outside quarter, where every major president entertained foreign leaders, and they take a picture with them. I got the behind the scenes, the VIP tour. Membership has its privileges. When Obama ran in 2012, see in Florida, we're a little different than Texas. We are now the third largest state, behind only California and Texas. The difference is we are what we call a battleground state. Everybody knows California is going to vote Democrat. Everybody knows Texas is going to vote Republican. In Florida, we switch back and forth. So when there's a presidential campaign, we're what they call a battleground state. And because we got 29 electoral college votes, every candidate comes to Florida. and they come regularly. So when Obama was running for re-election in 2012, he stayed in Florida. And because we live on the I-4 corridor, he comes to Orlando. Long story short, he came to Orlando run, and they asked me as president, am I doing all right? Am I doing all right? Amen. I'm kind of insecure sometimes. Am I doing all right? Amen. Some of y'all ain't looking right. Am I doing all right? Can I come back to Greenville? Will y'all tell Gibbs to bring me back? Obama was running for re-election. They said, will you do the prayer, the invocation? He's going to be at Sanford College. He said, will you do the prayer? I said, sure I will. Secret Service writes me, emails my secretary, said, tell the pastor to email his prayer to Chicago. So I get on the phone, email the prayer. I pray with the Holy Spirit. They said, you won't be praying with the Holy Spirit that day. They said, we got to know what you're going to say. No, they're serious, too. They ain't playing. And they let me know they had the goods on me. They said, you still drive a black Mercedes? They said, your wife still work at the law school? They said, your credit rating still 700? I mean, y'all got quiet on me here. They just let me know now that they know, you know, everything. I wrote up a little something and sent it to Chicago. They said, perfect. Don't deviate from this. Say, if you get up there and deviate, somebody's going to grab you. And they told me, they said, they're not playing either. I'm serious. They said, listen, now, the day you come to do the prayer, you're going to be in the president's space. There's a difference between being in the audience and being in his space. If you're just in the audience, you got to go through the metal detector. But when you back, I'm in the back where he is. I'm going to shake his hand before I go out. And so I go in the back and say, since you're in his space, I said, now don't drink a lot of coffee. Don't do nothing that makes you jittery. Because if you make a sudden move, it may be your last. They're not playing. And back in the back, the Secret Service, they stand with their coats open. They let you see that friend is closer than a brother. Yeah, and so, now listen, so I meet him in the back, and I said, shook his hand. He said, Reverend Leonard, appreciate the prayer. Now, he don't know no better. I told the church that morning, he called me Reverend Leonard and Secret Service all around. I ain't have time to straighten him out. You know, I know how some of y'all, I ain't a reverend. I didn't. Okay. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. They say to me, you're doing the prayer, the invocation, but you cannot pray in Jesus' name. So what do you mean? I'm a Christian preacher. I said, you can't pray. I said, if you say a prayer without in Jesus' name, it ain't going nowhere. Y'all read your Bible? In Jesus' name is like a stamp on your letter. If you don't put a stamp on your letter, it's returned to sender. I said, man, I can't pray without in Jesus' name. So no, you can't say in Jesus' name because the president has constituents who are Jews and Muslims and agnostics and atheists, and he don't want to offend anybody. So you pray, but don't pray. Now I'm at the place. I said, but don't say in Jesus' name. Now I'm thinking, I got to maintain my integrity, but I want to accommodate Obama. So I got through praying. I got down to the end. I'm trying to figure out what I can do. I said, in the name of he who walked the boisterous waters, in the name of he who calmed the raging seas, in the name of he who took two fish and five hush puppies and fed 5,000 and opened a red lobster in the desert, in the name of he who walked on the water and turned water into wine, in the name of he who said yes to the cross and no to the world, in his name. Did I get him? Did I get him? In his name. Amen. I said all that to say this. I got a lot of respect for Obama. I don't always agree with him, but I respect him as the first African-American president. If Obama walked in this room right now, because of his office and who he is, I would stand up. Amen. protocol dictates that when the president walks in,
amen,
you stand up. That's what you call admiration. If he walked in right now, I would stand up. There's a difference between Obama and Jesus. I have admiration for him. I got adulation for Jesus. Y'all don't know when to shout. If Obama walked in right now, I would stand up. But if Jesus walked in right now, I wouldn't stand up. I would bow down. Say amen when you can. You stand up for man. I only bow for Jesus. That's why Ephesians 2, Paul said, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And only he can help you soar, help you sprint, or help you stroll. That's how you thrive in life. If you're here today, you are not a member of Christ's church. You can be added today. What do you need to do, Brother Leonard? You need to hear the gospel of his vicarious, ignominious death. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Turn from your ways of sin, degradation, and iniquity. Verbalize, audibilize, confess that Jesus is Christ, Son of God. Join him in the watery, liquid grave of baptism, immersion, submersion, and immersion in water for the remission, removal, and the eradication of your sin. That process adds you to the church, but it won't keep you in the church. Say amen when you can. If everybody in the church was here that was baptized, the world couldn't hold them. But you can be added today, but to stay in the church, you got to remain faithful unto death. And once he adds you, he'll help you to sprint, he'll help you to soar, or he'll help you to stroll. If you're here today and not a member, you're subject to the Savior's invitation, come. If you're here and already a member in sin and need to repent, come. If you're here today, you desire prayer for yourself or keep prayer for another, whatever category you're in. If you came today, Brother Leonard, I want to soar, come. Brother Leonard, I want to sprint, come. Brother Leonard, I can't do either. I just want to keep strolling. Stand now, come, while we all together stand and sing the song of invitation.
I've wandered far away from God.
Would you come?
And now I'm coming home.
Lord, help me.
The path of sin.
Help me to mount up with wings like eagles.
I trod, Lord.
Lord, help me to run and not be weary.
I'm coming.
Lord, help me to walk and not faint.
Coming home, coming home.
Today's the day of salvation.
Evermore.
Right now is the accepted time. If I were you, I would not go home the way that I came. I would go home a better way.
Lord, I'm coming home.